There's never just two sides to a sports issue. Welcome to Three Sides Sports Talk. Welcome, everybody, to Three Sides Sports Talk, our first podcast of the new NFL year coming up. And to commemorate what I hope is a strong journey towards next Super Bowl, I have the Super Bowl logo as my Zoom background, which just happens to be in 49er colors. So I think things are already starting off well on the right foot, shall we say, for the next upcoming season. But obviously, before we get too far down the road with that Super Bowl, we got to talk about what just happened. And it was nothing that I expected. I expected high scoring. Wasn't. I expected the Chiefs to win. Didn't. I expected, at least at the very minimum, Patrick Mahomes would be the one who, you know, really shined. Didn't. So, I mean, wrong, all around the board for me. So I'm going to have to just step aside, and I'll pass it over to Jeff, since I know him and his San Mateo boy are cheersing their seventh championship. So, Jeff, your thoughts on the last Super Bowl?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, cheers, TB12, Tom Brady, like number seven. He was doing a little bit of that drinking, I noticed today on that boat parade, I guess. It looked like a much different scene than we saw from the New England championship parades. He looked a little tipsy there. But yeah, I mean, I was not expecting that type of game. I definitely thought the Bucs had a chance or that they would win that game, especially where their defense had been playing. But to think that the Chiefs would not score a touchdown? Unbelievable. You have to give props to the defense. I mean, I'm sure Jerry will say that the tackles were bad for Kansas City. I don't know if it was just entirely the tackles. However, Patrick Mahomes was running for his life play after play. Would they say he had like almost 500 yards traveled?
400. Next gen stats had four, him scrambling around for 497 yards.
Incredible. So, yeah, not what I expected to happen necessarily. They could never get a run game going. I don't know if they were distracted from all the stuff off the field or what was going on, combination of everything. But, yeah, the pass rush got to Mahomes, and Tom Brady just did his thing.
Yeah, I mean, before, you know, I knew that the Chiefs are going to have problems up front playing with a bunch of journeyman backup offensive linemen. Certainly, I didn't expect Patrick Mahomes to be under siege the entire game. But credit to Todd Bowles and his Bucs defense. They took advantage. And as for Tom Brady, what can you say? Tom Super Freak Brady. But, you know, it's funny because I was super frustrated watching the Super Bowl, but just not in the way you might think, because it really had little to do with the actual game, but rather how everything seemed to center around all of my disappointments with the Niners last year. I mean, you have Brady winning his seventh, which is really the first source of my frustration, because the Niners could have had him. He wanted to sign with San Francisco. And we wouldn't even have had to give up anything to acquire him. And I know everyone believes that Brady wouldn't have led the Niners to the Super Bowl because of all the injuries they had this year, but I totally disagree. Because let me tell you how things would have been different had Lynch and Shanahan gone with Brady. First, they would have traded Garoppolo for a first-round pick, maybe even to the Bucs. And let's say the Niners drafted Tristan Wirfs and plugged him into right guard. And that would have solidified our line. And then we know Rob Gronkowski was going to unretire as soon as Brady left New England and go wherever Tommy went. So can you imagine Gronk and George Kittle on the same team? I mean, holy Gronkamole, that would have been the best tight end tag team tandem in the NFL and WWE history. And given the injury bug to the wide receivers in the backfield, you remember at the beginning of our season, you know the Niners would have gotten Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette for the same reason they followed Brady to Tampa. And lastly, in terms of Bosa's injury, I think Lynch would have been way more aggressive if they had Brady instead of Nick Mullins under center, and would have gone much harder to add defensive ends like Carlos Dunlap and Yannick Ngakoue to shore up our pass rush. So I totally think the Niners would have swapped places with the Bucs had the Niners gone with Brady. And I know I've already gone way too long on these would have, could have, should have, but just let me finish by saying I also think the Niners would have won last year's Super Bowl if they had this year's officiating crew who actually flagged the Chiefs for all their penalties, unlike last year's refs who totally blew it by letting the Chiefs slide. Because as we saw on Sunday, the Chiefs absolutely lost their shit when they couldn't get away with all the holding and pass interference that they got away with in last year's game. So knock on wood if you're with me.
Excellent, excellent job, because I was going to – the refereeing was something that I was going to bring up. Not that I thought it was bad, because I just thought it was inconsistent from last year. And it made me smirk, if you will, to see the Kansas City fans saying – oh, these, what's going on with all these penalties? And like, oh, I'm sorry. Did the refs really screw you in the Super Bowl for, you know, an unknown reason? I feel so bad. So, I mean, I'm totally with you on that. The inconsistency was apparent, and it's emphasized because the Chiefs beat the Niners last year and they got the calls, and then the Chiefs were in. It's not like there was two different teams and you can say, oh, well, these teams play different or they're doing this. No, one team was the same and, you know, things just went completely different.
Just pissed me off because, I mean, Nick Bosa had only one sack, but it would have way more if the Chiefs weren't allowed to hold him like on nearly every play without
constantly
being
sacked. Yes.
Right. And then there were a bunch of those questionable roughing the passer no calls, including that headshot that Jimmy G took.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The thing that kind of stood out to me in the Super Bowl, because for me, it was all about looking forward. It was all about, you know, we can rehash, and it's painful. It's just like if you're trying to rewatch the Super Bowl, which I haven't, you know, I just don't need to go through that pain again. Like, I know the outcome, time to move on. The one thing about this Super Bowl that stood out from a Niners point of view is something that we discussed last podcast, and follow me if you will, because the defense of the Bucs was so dominant, whether it was because, you know, the Chiefs had, you know, backups in there or whatnot. I mean, that defensive line was just in Mahomes' face constantly, constantly, constantly. So what did I initially think of? There's no way that John Lynch or Shanahan could put Bosa into a trade for Deshaun Watson. He just can't. I mean, that's as much as I was thinking about last week saying, well, hey, you know, the Niners defense was just as good this year and we didn't have Bosa. The emphasis of disrupting a top-notch quarterback on a top-notch team by one individual carries so much weight, and it's almost invaluable. So to me, it solidified they just can't put Bosa into a deal for Deshaun. Even though last week I was kind of, hey, you know, that seems reasonable. But seeing those guys, because again, you look at it, and I'll tell you the thing that bothered me about the Super Bowl. Also, I know, like, you're almost always going to give the MVP to a quarterback, but Brady threw for 200 yards, and like he barely did more than move the ball. He didn't hit a deep touchdown pass. He didn't hit a critical fourth down. He didn't script. He just moved the ball a little bit, and oh, MVP Tommy. Not that anyone else really stood out. I mean, you could have given it to Gronk. You could have given it to a member of the defense. What, you know, so I get it. But again, it emphasized to me, oh, you got a dominating defense and a quarterback that could just do enough. Oh, that sounds familiar. So, I mean, just putting that into my head that you can't put Bosa, as much as I'm sure we're going to continue to talk to Deshaun until that situation is resolved. I can no longer promote Bosa being part of that package.
Yeah. I was just going to say the same thing to that point. I mean, you made some good points there. Regarding Bosa, I thought the same thing sitting there watching the game. I just kept thinking in my head, like, man, look how important this pass rush is. You know, as much as we talk about, you know, anybody is, you can give anybody up, I just think that it's really important. And we have a guy, you know, assuming he comes back healthy and strong, that can disrupt everything. And think about, like, I keep seeing these these like things on whatever Instagram or whatever saying like Bosa still has better numbers than anybody had this year in the postseason as far as pressures or anything like that. And that was without getting any of those holding calls or any of those other calls. I mean, he did a much better job than I even remember him doing. So, I mean, yeah, it was just pretty incredible there. And as far as the refs go, it was tough, man. Like some of those calls that weren't very good calls, you know, on Kansas City's behalf, but at the same time, you know, it was very inconsistent. And that's the problem that I think all of us always have is the inconsistency from the officiating, especially when you go into the game thinking, well, they're not going to call everything because it's the Super Bowl. So they're going to have, you know, things are let things go a little more, but then they call all these, I don't know about that, you know, type of calls. And so that was kind of disappointing. Whether it turned the tide, I don't think so, but yeah. Still disappointing to see it.
And I
think the Chiefs deserve to get those calls. And and I agree with you guys about you know, about Bosa. I mean, that's why last week when we talked about this, I'm like, no, there's no way. Like you ramp up your offer enough so that you wouldn't have to include Bosa. And I mean, look, they can ask for Bosa, just like supposedly Detroit asked for Aaron Donald to be included in the Matt Stafford trade. But last I checked, Detroit had multiple offers, but Donald is still on the Rams, and the Rams were still able to trade for Stafford. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And as we move around the quarterback carousel, it kind of, you know, slowed down, which I'm sure is not, I'm sure it's absolutely NFL's doing that. We do not want massive trades going down Friday and Saturday before the Super Bowl. Yeah. So, we're just going to put a clamp on all you guys having these discussions, because come Monday morning, whoa, Wentz is about to be traded. And a few days later, he's still on the Eagles and he might be close to getting traded. And then all of a sudden, a guy who there's no way he was on anyone's trade list. Russell Wilson, Seattle's getting calls about Russell Wilson. Oh, that's just immediate. Everyone's like, and then Russell Wilson confirms that, hey, you know, I'm not in charge. Seattle can trade me. And it's, you know, hey, if there's a little dysfunction in Seattle, I'm not going to cry over that. But is the world gone loopy? I mean, Wentz is one thing. Wilson?
I mean, so the guy whose nickname is Dangerous is what? Now afraid of getting hit? Is that what he's saying? I mean, maybe he should change his name to Nerve Russ. No? Okay, I'm a dork. Sorry. But look, no disrespect to guys like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and all these great QBs of this generation. But really, the reason they've been able to play into their 40s and not look like George Blanda is because the rules are so skewed towards protecting the quarterback already. So, and they're barely getting hit. So I really don't think that this is just Wilson being, I mean, I think that this is Wilson being envious, really, of how much clout Brady has in Tampa. And he just wants, you know, similar say in Seattle, as far as how things should go with the organization. I think quarterbacks that are considered to be the elite quarterbacks and, you know, your top five, top 10 quarterbacks who, you know, have pelts on the wall. I think they deserve to have that say. I think that's all this is about.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear his name in the news all of a sudden. If he wanted to complain about getting beat up constantly, he should have brought that up 1 or 2 years ago. I mean, since then, they've somewhat, you know, helped that offensive line. I mean, so I'm not sure if he's just trying to compete in the news cycle, like you're saying, being envious, or if he's, you know, trying to throw his name out there too. Like, oh, look at me. Don't forget about me. I'm just like Deshaun. And then there's like this rumor I hear of Deshaun swap for Russell. I mean, who knows where all these rumors come from, but yeah, I'm really surprised to hear that. I don't think they're going to let him go. I can't imagine something like that going down. So,
and there's, I mean, I don't know what the most definite thing in the world is outside of death and taxes, but Russell Wilson becoming a 49er might as well be added to the list, because even if he was in trade talks, there's no way he comes to the Niners. Right. But
no way.
Which is fine. You know, I mean, fine. But we've heard, and it's been confirmed multiple times, that the Niners have reached out to Philadelphia about Wentz. And Shanahan is apparently very high on Darnold. So you're starting to get this, these linkages. How much is smoke? How much is actually out there? Is it just due diligence? Like, hey, oh, I heard Wentz is available, you know, seventh rounder, you know, no. Okay. But yeah. What is happening in your mind? I mean, we'll never know until it's something comes up, but what is happening?
I think that what it's really saying is that the Niners are moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo, right? I mean, you wouldn't be in on all of these potential acquisitions if you're truly looking to move on. However, it's really hard to imagine that they'd be in on either of these quarterbacks. Well, let's go with each of them for like with Darnold, right? I don't get the Darnold rumors because if Kyle is enamored with him, isn't it only logical that Mike LaFleur, who's the Jets' new offensive coordinator, would be enamored as well, considering he's Kyle's disciple, right? I mean, I don't think the Jets move off Darnold unless LaFleur isn't sold on him, in which case Kyle wouldn't be interested either, right? And as for Wentz, I mean, we know the physical traits are appealing, right? They always are. But I would not trade for Wentz because, you know, his contract is crazy expensive. And as we all have seen, he played poorly this last season, so poorly he got benched. And he's also had some injury issues in the past. So it appears Wentz would require just too much rehab and too much coddling just in hopes of getting his psyche back just to being a solid quarterback. But really the thing that concerns me most about Wentz is that the Eagles are willingly taking on a massive $30 million cap hit, dead cap hit, which would be the biggest dead cap hit for one player in the history of the NFL if they moved on from him, which is crazy. So Wentz has got what to be so toxic that management's like, whatever it takes, just get rid of him. And I don't hear any Eagles players clamoring for Wentz to stay. So I would imagine that it would be a hard pass, not just for me, but for the Niners as well.
Jeff, you want Wentz?
No. See, the thing with Wentz is I don't think he, like Jerry said, I'm not in love with Wentz, but I don't think he'd be an upgrade either. I think he would just be, you know, a Garoppolo type, or if not worse, you know, than Garoppolo. So what was the stat for completion percentage? I guess if you're 70% is really good, maybe 60, you don't want to be below 60. And he's like at 57. And he's had, like Jerry said, injury history and some other issues going on in the locker room. I'm not sure if the coach wanted him or the owner wanted him. I don't know if we'll ever really know what happens there or what goes on there. He's really expensive. So, I mean, I don't see Wentz. I don't really want Wentz. Darnold, the same thing. I mean, we already have our top 10 guy from that draft class in Rosen. So we might as well go with Rosen then if you don't look at Darnold.
Yeah. I mean, isn't the only difference between Darnold and Josh Rosen at this point that the Jets stuck with Darnold despite his struggles, whereas nobody gave Rosen an opportunity?
Yeah. I mean, Rosen really hasn't had an opportunity. So, I mean, yeah, who knows?
There was an interesting clip that was floating around, and it was of that right before that draft class, Mike Shanahan was on Fox Sports, and they asked him about Josh Rosen, and they said, this guy kind of has some personality flags and seems to be a little bit entitled and, you know, doesn't seem to have football as his, you know, primary, you know, love. Would that concern you? And Shanahan was instantly, absolutely, that concerns me. Like, if you don't, you got to find this guy. And if he doesn't love it, which may speak to why Rosen, you know, has bounced around to a few teams. But to Jeff's point, we have that guy. And not only do we have him, the Niners just re-signed him. So
signed him, right.
I mean, it, they could have waited to free agency, but they locked him up. So we're talking about
when you're
in the quarterback room, there's one guy.
I mean, when you're talking about a reclamation project, I mean, that's the reclamation project, right? The guy that you get off of somebody's practice squad, you're not going to spend a first round or second round pick to say, well, I know he's broken, but let me see if I can fix him.
Which is why it doesn't really make any sense to then sign him and then go also trade for or give up whatever capital for Darnold.
I would agree. And
there's no upgrade over Jimmy G either. So.
Right. And people keep coming back to Kyle's end of the year comment about if there's an upgrade out there, we're going to go investigate it. And I don't think anyone is saying Wentz or Darnold is a drastic upgrade. Now, people can disagree, and they did, that thinking Stafford was an upgrade. But nobody is saying that Wentz or Darnold is an upgrade. So again, why the Niners being linked to these teams outside of just checking in about due diligence or, you know, all
that I was going to add was, you know, they've said that we're going to kick the tires, you know, like you said, maybe for an upgrade, but maybe they're just kicking the tires on everybody. So therefore there's the report for all these names.
And who knows? I mean, it could be the other teams also know that the Niners can be used as leverage, because as soon as it's, you hear, oh, Kyle Shanahan and the Niners are, you know, talking about him. Does that get the Bears or the Colts just to go, just get them, get it done? Because those are the two teams that I think would be most interested in Wentz. So, you know, I would imagine it's a smokescreen kind of leverage play. At least I would hope so, because I don't think that either one of those guys serves as an upgrade at quarterback, and certainly not financially in Wentz's case. And Darnold's case, that's his only advantage, is the fact that he comes cheaper and you would have more money to spend on free agents. So it goes back to waiting on Deshaun. That is now the only viable upgrade at quarterback that I can see. So that's going to be one of those things that, until there's resolution, and I believe it's going to get more contentious before it gets resolved, because Deshaun's dug his heels in, and the Texans have now come out and saying, no, we're not trading him. We're, you know, we expect him to be our quarterback. So this could be a lengthy stare down. So in, you know, I don't know if either one of you have thoughts on that before we move to the draft, because that's the next thing that we're going to have to start focusing on. Because if neither one of these guys are upgrades and Deshaun's in a stare down, the draft's going to be next.
Well, real quickly, when you mentioned why would the Niners be in on the discussions for Wentz and Darnold, and, you know, and I wasn't quite sure, but then it dawned on me that when you mentioned Watson, I'm like, could this just be some crazy roundabout way for them to figure out, okay, if the Texans would be interested in any of these quarterbacks, the Niners would go ahead and acquire, you know what I mean? Like, we talked about a three-way deal last time where you included Garoppolo going to New England. Maybe you still do that, but then somehow in a roundabout way, you still grab Darnold or you just grab Wentz for the Texans to make that deal happen for Watson to come to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. That sounds really complicated, right? Get him and give up whatever assets to then ship him back off to the Texans. I don't know if that's impossible, but real quick, just to continue that carousel. So Houston has now said, we're not trading him. So how's that going to end? Right. Like, we got to figure out this sooner rather than later. Right. And then another name that's out there, obviously. So if you said the Bears, right. So then obviously Trubisky, they're not, you know, redoing him, or Foles. So where do those quarterbacks land? And then I just saw recently Mariota possibly is on the trade market. Back to Jerry's initial comment about Mariota, and they're saying, okay, Carr's our guy, the Raiders are saying, right? So maybe Mariota is available out there. So, I mean, this is very interesting with all these teams and all these names. So who lands where?
Well, yeah, like I said last week, I think the QB carousel is just going to be spinning round and round. I have no idea who's going to be under center and where for a bunch of these teams, but I definitely think that there's going to be an unprecedented amount of movement at quarterback throughout the league, with at least 12 teams switching out their quarterbacks from 2020. I mean, we already have the Lions and Rams. It could be the Jaguars, the Jets, the Eagles, the Niners, the Patriots, the Texans, Washington, Bears, Colts, Saints,
even
Panthers.
Yeah,
come on.
and who's going to be playing center? We need a center too.
And I think part of this is part of this that GMs are just looking at the quarterback situation like the grass is just greener on the other side. Because, again, unless you're upgrading or you have – I mean, Teddy Bridgewater wasn't – just taking the Panthers as an example. Teddy Bridgewater wasn't terrible. In fact, when McCaffrey was in there as a running back, they seemed like a, you know, serviceable – team and a decent offense that you can build upon. Not that Bridgewater is the, you know, the franchise, but is going after a Mariota or a Wentz or a Trubisky. Isn't that just, you know, change for change sake? You know, so I just don't see why these GMs are so enamored with moving off of quarterbacks or bringing in quarterbacks when it's, you know, kind of a wash?
I think it's just been a confluence of a lot of unique circumstances, right? I mean, you have certain teams who are on the cusp of winning a championship and they're looking just to get over that hump. You have certain teams where they're sort of lost, where they don't have a quarterback and they need to find one. You have certain teams where their quarterbacks have retired, right? You got Rivers and Breeze retiring. And then you have, of course, the biggest name out there, Deshaun, being completely unhappy in his situation. So I just think that it's, you know, it's just kind of weird and strange that all of it has come together in one offseason. But it is interesting how aggressive the Panthers appear to be trying to upgrade their quarterback position. I mean, as if they're a quarterback away from being championship contenders, and as if Matt Rhule, their head coach, is on the hot seat, because I mean, neither of which do I believe to be the case, but I mean, I do like their aggressiveness. Cause you know, even though they just signed Teddy Bridgewater last season, they've clearly decided they want something better and isn't afraid to go after it. But I never thought Bridgewater was going to be more than a bridge quarterback anyway.
Sure. But it was a bridge to your next either big draft pick or your next franchise pick. I don't think getting rid of Bridgewater for Trubisky or Darnold is anything other than changing the Band-Aid, which at some point you have to get your guy. And your guy might not be who everyone agrees is your guy, but you got to go, this is our guy. We're giving him a chance. We're building around him and let's see what happens. And if it fails, it fails. But just Band-Aid after Band-Aid and rotating quarterbacks in, this isn't, you know, this isn't your platoon second baseman in baseball where, the rest of the team's fine. I mean, this is your quarterback, you know, type of thing.
But then again, how quickly things change, because when we got Jimmy, we thought that was the guy, like, for the next 5-6 years, right? But then quickly, he got hurt. Let's get rid of this guy. So,
well, I will say, I think a lot of people are convinced that Jimmy is not a good quarterback. And I don't believe that. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but the amount of quarterbacks moving around for lots of money or big compensation, again, goes back to what we said before, is the Niners aren't in a terrible position. It's not as if they are the Colts and they need a guy to play quarterback. They have a guy. He might not be, you know, the apple of their eye, but he's certainly not the one that they want to, you know, kick to the curb just because.
Yeah, but you know what? Two out of the last three seasons have been torpedoed because of the Niners' disappointing quarterback room, flat out, right? You can't go into 2021 with Jimmy and all those guys. As Mike Singletary likes to say, can't win with them. Can't do it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to just take the opposite approach because I don't think Singletary really knew what he was talking about. So, you know.
Well, he wasn't talking about these guys in particular. But I think maybe the best way to frame Jimmy is that, not to say he's not good, maybe he's just not good enough.
Right.
True, but I think we all agree he's not good enough to be an elite quarterback, but I don't think we all agree that he's not good enough to, you know, take them deep into the playoffs, because
did he really take the team deep into the playoffs, or was he just
no, but that's my point, is was he the, like, he's not the guy. We've said it before, he's not Aaron Rodgers, he's not hop on my back, I'm gonna carry you. But he's not Nick Mullins, where even with a strong running game and a defense, you're going to be able to get there. You know, I mean, it's just not going to happen. You know, so that's my contention. I believe that's what the Niners are. That's why they're kicking the tires to see what is out there, because they know what they got. They know they've had Jimmy in the system. They've seen him healthy. They've seen his biggest fault, which is his injury problems. They've seen him come with it one pass of, you know, winning the Super Bowl. They've seen everything. So again, there's no problem. And I think it would be a fault on the Niners if they weren't out kicking the tires on every position to try and get better. But because this is the glamour position, this is the one that catches the news.
And you were saying before, like, why aren't teams just trying to make it work with their guy? But I mean, Houston, they want to make it work with Deshaun Watson, but he's out, right? And when you have like one member of a marriage calling it quits, I'm sorry, you just can't salvage a relationship when someone doesn't want it to be saved, right? And I'm actually really wondering, I mean, to me, the real question is, will Cal McNair threaten Deshaun Watson and hold him hostage by telling Deshaun that he either plays for the Texans or nobody, or will rational thinking prevail and will Nick Caserio try to get as much value as he can by trading Deshaun before the draft?
I think it'd be the former. I don't think that as the days go by, I don't think he's getting traded. I mean,
so you think that without the, we don't have a scouting combine, so they'll be bombarded with Watson watch 24/7.
Yep.
Right. And considering that Houston's already in full rebuild mode anyway, mm-hmm. and the previous regime left them without first and second round picks in this year's draft, you think the Texans would seriously consider just conceding to sucking with AJ McCarron under center while Deshaun sits at home to wait the Texans out and have this whole black cloud lingering over them for as long as it takes?
Well, I guess, I mean, I see it both ways. I could see them doing that for sure. But then the flip side, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, but
I don't see them doing that.
I think they'd be, you know, wise to just get what they can for him, for sure. But I can see that the owner saying, nope.
I mean, again, I know Jerry thinks Deshaun holds all the cards, but I mean, if the Texans say we're not trading you, he doesn't get paid and his deal gets extended a year. So it's not like he even gets a year knocked off his deal. It just extends.
Whatever fines happen or whatever. Yeah,
so, I mean, again, I don't think it's the smart decision. You know, that's a different, I think that the owner and Easterby should just be quiet, be gone, and let Caserio try and patch things up with things around the NFL just so he can get as much value for Deshaun as possible. But when you're trading your franchise quarterback that you committed $100 million to, that all this kind of stuff, I don't think the GM gets to pull that trigger without the owner's say so. Yeah. So
I just think that star players, if they want out, they will force their way out. They'll do whatever it takes. And at the end of the day, regardless of what the team wants, that's what usually happens. Have we seen a player not get his way?
Sure. Michael Strahan threatened to sit out the whole year, sat out all training camp, showed up the day before the season start. Emmitt Smith held out all training camp, you know.
You're going way back, man. That's like, how old are you? No, I was kidding. No, I mean, you're right. No, but that was a long time ago. I think things are different now.
Well, I guess Le'Veon Bell is the most recent.
Right, Le'Veon. I mean, those were just guys that I think are in Deshaun's class, you know, in terms of those are Hall of Famers. Those guys carried weight. And if those guys didn't get it, you know, didn't get their way, I mean, even Brett Favre, you know, he held the Packers hostage every year for like 3 years. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to retire. I don't know about this. You know, oh, we got helicopters in Hattiesburg, and he Mississippi.
Ultimately got his way every single year.
No, he didn't, because he wanted to go to the Vikings, you know, and they're like,
went to the Vikings.
2 years, 3 years later. I mean, if we're saying, oh, we're playing the long game, like, yeah. So if Deshaun wants to wait 3 years to get his way.
Okay. Yeah, but like I said, that was a long time ago. I'm seeing players nowadays, you know, Jalen Ramsey wanted to be moved. Jamal Adams wanted to be moved. Players want to be moved. They're going to be moved.
Yeah. Agreed. Yes, but the compensation for both of those guys was a lot, but not unprecedented. I mean, that's two first rounders is the going rate for what, I mean, if the Cowboys slap the franchise tag on on Dak, a team can go, okay, we'll give you two first rounders. And they could trade him. I mean, that's what the rate is for a legit super superstar. So like, I'm not disagreeing with you that Deshaun holds cards, but I don't know if, and you're talking again, you opened it up with, are they going to, you know, basically you said, will rational thought, you know, prevail? And I'm going to say rational thought hasn't prevailed to this point, you know, with, oh, we're going to promise you to, you know, let you have some say in GM. Oh, we're going to promise you this. We're going to, like, none of that has, like, if you want to go back to rational thought, that would have been where you would have started, you know? So it hasn't, they haven't shown me to be rational up to this point. And I don't know what is, I mean, I need to see evidence that something is coming in to make me go, oh, okay. Rational thought is finally set in. So that, I mean, that's the only thing I'm saying.
Gotcha. Well,
they're just keeping quiet, and they're, in the meantime, people are still calling and offering things, I would imagine, and they're just going to keep quiet until they decide to pull the trigger.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're going to be bombarded with trade offers and all the reporters constantly barraging them with Deshaun Watson questions every waking moment.
Well, what
let's, is that? What they is that what they want to go through? I mean, I don't see them wanting to go through that.
Probably not, but they don't have, it's the off season. There's no press conferences. I mean, they don't have to deal with the media, but looking at it just from a different point of view, what is the deadline? I mean, when do you think the Texans have to make this decision? Because to me, there's two quasi deadlines, one being the draft, because if you hold on to them to that point, you got to want, if you don't get anything from this draft,
right,
you're really screwing yourself, right? So like that's why I think the Texans deadline is okay, if they really just wanted to hold out as long as possible, day before draft, you take whatever you got. Because that's
or before the draft, so they can do some more research on who else they want to get, right? They don't
That's, I mean, they can't wait for first rounders to be picked and go, well, we wish we had one of these. You know, and for the teams, I think the deadline actually moves up a little bit because you're talking about free agency.
Yeah.
You know, so you're talking about if we're in on Deshaun, we can't make a move for, you know, say Mariota gets cut. We can't make that move. We can't make a move for Trubisky or, you know, anything like that if we think we're in on the Deshaun thing, which moves the deadline up for the Texans a little bit because – they need as many teams as possible into the bidding process to drive up that rate. But as soon as quarterbacks start getting settled, so say the Colts, you know, trade for Wentz, you know, okay. Not that Deshaun's going to the Colts, but the more there's unsettlement in quarterbacks, the more the Texans can get. But as soon as those dominoes start falling, as soon as a team goes, you know what, screw it, we're going this direction, that's when I think the teams are going to start having to make tough decisions about where they want their quarterback. And then you're taking some of that away from the Texans. So those are just two kind of quasi deadlines that to keep in mind as this continues to play out.
No, you're absolutely right. And I do think that's the window, right, around free agency. And that's the tricky thing for the Niners is, you know, figuring out how or when these dominoes will fall. And are the Niners really going all in on Deshaun? And if so, then they'll have to play the long game and wait, you know, maybe through free agency to the draft, which means guys like Mariota, Darnold, Wentz, and, you know, we'll likely have found new homes.
And you got to think that the offseason program, if there is anything to be done, they're going to want, you know, teams want some stability, and that's going to come right before the draft when veterans can at least get together, and then right afterwards. So these guys, I'm talking about the teams, they've got to have plan A and plan B. And if they don't, it's going to be a staring contest in Houston, because that they've got to blink and then you get to the trade compensation. But I had sent you guys, a link, and we will put it in the description of the podcast as well as on the YouTube link. And that was to the highlights of Trey Lance. He's probably the most unknown quarterback coming into the draft. That's getting a lot of hype. That's because if you don't know, he went to North Dakota State. So he was an FBS guy. He only got basically one game, and it was kind of a showcase game just to get him some tape out there. He's a redshirt sophomore, so he doesn't have a lot of experience. But I found it, I thought about it, and I had some thoughts, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Trey Lance, because it's obviously one of the things that we're going to be discussing if the dominoes for Deshaun don't work out, and that's what happens in the draft. So any thoughts on Trey Lance?
So what did Jim Harbaugh say about Cam Newton? plutonium grade raw material, that's Trey Lance, because he's an amazing athlete, obviously. Fast runner, great arm, tough to bring down so he can extend plays. But I don't know if he can be an NFL quarterback just because he hadn't played a lot. And he just seems so raw. I mean, if you look at his stats, he runs with the ball almost as much as he throws the ball. So we don't know if he can learn to read defenses and quickly process things in order to go through his progressions efficiently and make quick decisions. I mean, we don't know if he can throw guys open in tight windows, because he just about every throw in his highlight reel was to wide open receivers. And we don't know if he's a good leader. And if he's a workaholic, a football guy, who will be, you know, first in the building and last out, you know? So I guess what I will say is, whoever drafts Trey Lance, I think they're going to have to basically redshirt him his rookie year, despite his athleticism. And for me, the guy who Lance reminds me of, just based off his college tape, is Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. I watched that video, I think, before, months back, and then I saw a video with like an interview of him and his parents. I mean, he's got a lot of raw talent, right? And then also, what's he playing against? What's the competition he was playing against? As far as, yeah, so he had some really good throws. Was he getting pressured? Were his guys wide open? I mean, you never know with a lot of those guys. I mean, to me, I guess it's kind of, it's the excitement of what he could be, really. I mean, he's got really good size, really good arm strength. You know he's going to go in the top 20 at the very least, or whatever, you know, most, whatever, for sure. Because these teams, just, they're not going to let him go. Like, even if he's rated for like second or third round, that never happens, right? So someone's going to take him high up. He's got really good athleticism. My only question is back to what we were talking about earlier with Deshaun, and not knowing, seeing all these articles and all these comments from like Shanahan, if he's the type of guy that he wants. And so that's the only quandary with the Niners, is if he's actually willing to take on one of these guys. So whether or not he's going to be a good quarterback in the league, but I'm not sure if the Niners are willing to take him on, because he seems to want, you know, Shanahan seems to want that pocket passer guy. So I don't know, but I think maybe he has some pretty good potential there.
Well, I'll tell you that, the couple things that stood out to me, and again, we'll put the link in the podcast description and the YouTube description, and we'll do this again for some other players that, you know, inevitably are linked to the Niners, most likely quarterbacks. But there are a few things that stood out to me, and I think your Colin Kaepernick comparison, Jerry, is right on. I had my comparison, and I'll get to that in a second, but the things that stood out to me, he's got a strong arm. He can flick his wrist and the ball gets there downfield quickly. Yeah. And in fact, probably the most impressive play was about a minute and 36 into it. And it was one of the plays that he rolled left, pump faked, was flushed out, went back right. And instead of throwing, or instead of running, he looked left, looked right, looked left, and then still threw it. And then it was a big completion. So that was positive to me, because that's what I think Patrick Mahomes does. That's what the Russell Wilson does. They're fast. They scramble. And when they need that first down, they get it, but always keeping your eyes downfield to make the bigger play. The other thing that stood out to me, which was a red flag, and granted, we're talking about limited, you know, tape here, you know, but there was not one slant or dig or out route. Every pass that he threw, literally every pass that he threw, was a deep go route, you know? So you're not seeing if he can throw into a tight window, even at that level, because he wasn't even asked to do that. You're not seeing if he's got any timing with his players. So to be able to project that at the next level, boy, that is going to take someone who really believes in what they got, because I agree with you, Jeff. He's going in the top 20, if not the top 15, to a quarterback needy team, because that's where you are if you're in the top 15. And you've got to have patience with him, because you're going to have to sit him behind someone like Matt Ryan, you know, where there's no question Matt Ryan is the starter and Trey Lance is your future, but you can't have him come in, because everyone's going to want to see him. So that's my projection as to what is needed. Now, my comp for him, I had two. What's his ceiling and what's his floor? And it's dramatic because what's his ceiling? You said it. And in fact, I thought that's who you were going to comp him to was Cam Newton. He is a big guy. I mean, unlike Kaepernick, when Kaepernick came in, remember how thin and spindly he was? Like, he was fast and can throw the ball, but he was not built like Trey Lance or Cam Newton. And when I see Lance, I see he's a fast Ben Roethlisberger. Like, he can shake off guys and tacklers. Now, what's his floor? His floor is Paxton Lynch. His floor is a guy who has a big arm, is super mobile. Think Tim Tebow with a better arm, but cannot get past thinking that his athletic abilities are going to carry him because they just won't. So to me, it's going to take a daring coach or GM to give him the shot that he needs. And it's going to take an organization like the Packers did with Rodgers and making him sit there for a while. So to me, those were kind of my thoughts on Trey Lance. One last thought on the whole video. If you watch the Senior Bowl, Dylan Randunes, the offensive tackle from North Dakota State, everyone was raving about him at the Senior Bowl. He was, you know, I think he won Lineman of the Week or whatever, like very positive things. Now, this wasn't a Dylan Randunes video that we were watching, but I kept an eye on the offensive tackle. He looked overmatched at times, which, again, raises a red flag that if you're not dominating at that level, now, again, this is 2 years ago, so he was a freshman or a sophomore, he could have gotten bigger and stronger. But that's one of those things that if you're a scout, you better go dig up a lot more tape to see what it is about this guy. So just, and because the Niners are in the market for an offensive lineman.
Well, that's funny you say digging up more tape on a guy. I mean, this is not the 1950s where it's hard to find tape on people. You can find it if it's out there. But the problem with Trey Lance is there's just not enough of it because he hasn't played enough. And when he does throw the ball, he throws the ball like what, between 12 and 16 times a game. So I think that's where the difference is between, like, you can't say, well, he could be so-and-so, like Patrick Mahomes.
Don't tell me what I can do.
Josh Allen, or he could be, what's that?
Don't tell me what I can do and I can't do. Don't tell me.
What I'm saying is, I mean, Mahomes threw it like 60 times a game, right? So you have a good idea as far as, you know, his true arm talent in the scope of being a quarterback.
Absolutely.
But I think what it'll all boil down to is something that the three of us will not be privy to, unfortunately, which is going to be the interviews, right? That I think where he goes in the draft will largely hinge upon how he performs on the whiteboard. How does he come across to these coaches? Is he a grinder? Is he the guy who's going to be the first in, last out kind of a guy? Does he love football? All those things that we were talking about, which became, I guess, question marks for Josh Rosen. Like, is he going to be a guy that an organization will be willing to hang their hat on and take him because he is just a special guy, which is, I think, why Patrick Mahomes became as great as he's become, because coming out of college, dude, no way did I see this happening for him.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I keep thinking about, and I don't know what you guys' thoughts on is I just don't believe from everything I've heard that Shanahan wants a guy like this. And so as much as I'm excited to get a Mahomes or a Russell Wilson or even a Trey Lance and just sit him on the bench and I'm fine taking him at 12, whatever, that's fine if I can get some excitement out of it. But I might have to just admire the excitement on these other teams from afar because I still think he wants to go Jimmy G, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, which might be his downfall in the end because he's not willing to look at these other guys or draft one of these playmaker type guys. I don't know. Like,
what, yeah, he definitely doesn't prefer quarterbacks to go off script, right? And I think I told you this before, I don't know, maybe just within our text, but the college quarterback who I totally see as a Kyle Shanahan quarterback is Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that because it comes from a disciplined system of you don't run. And when you're a guy who isn't athletic, I mean, to play in the SEC, you're the freak athlete of all athletes in the college game, right? So if you are not one of those guys, you better be disciplined, precise, know the playbook inside and out, know everything that everybody is doing. So you're telling me Mac Jones is number one on Kyle's board? I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, take away Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's not even in the ballgame. But if you told me you snuck into the Niner draft room and you saw their board and it said Mac Jones sitting there at number one, it would not shock me, because that is absolutely the profile of a Shanahan quarterback, at least up until this point. Now, who knows? He has seen Josh Allen this past year just devastate him. He's seen Patrick Mahomes, you know, he has seen these things. Again, I don't believe he's gone all the way off the rails and is looking for the next Kyler Murray. But has he learned that mobility is a plus asset to have if you're a quarterback in the NFL? I hope that Shanahan isn't so stubborn he thinks he knows everything and isn't willing to learn from what he sees and what others have done successfully. So I hope that is what he has seen. So
what's weird is that he had RG3 and they were successful together. And I know RG3 obviously wasn't his preferred quarterback. And I'm not saying that he needs to go, you know, Lamar Jackson, RG3, right, Kyler Murray, but just seeing that having that kind of mobility adds that extra little wrinkle that the defense has to account for. I mean, it's just a little bit surprising that, I mean, if it took the Josh Allen ass kicking for him to go, you know what? You know, a little mobility can't hurt.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So hopefully he's willing to do that, because, you know, I think it's exciting for all of us as fans, because especially one of the thing I just thought of after I finished talking last time was the linemen in the league now aren't as good as they used to be. And for many reasons why, like all these guys can comment on, they're not getting the time, they're getting the practice. So you have to be a little mobile right now. You can't just sit back there and always expect to have this great offensive line protecting you. You have to be able to improvise a little bit. So,
although I will disagree from the standpoint, going back to our original topic, the Super Bowl, if you look at Tom Brady, I mean, he's not exactly the most mobile guy, especially at 43. And I think the thing that a guy like Tom Brady brings is that when you're that smart and you know exactly what's going on, you can help the offensive lineman. You can adjust the protections. And he's making all these guys look so good, right? I mean, that their left tackle, Donovan Smith, I don't think he's ever been as consistent as he has this season. And then you look on the flip side, right? When even a Patrick Mahomes, when you have journeyman offensive linemen who cannot protect, even he has a really rough time trying to play quarterback.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. So moving along here, just for the sake of time, one thing that we haven't gotten to, and it happened a couple of weeks ago, was we talked early on months ago or a month ago that the Niners have 42 free agents. What are we going to do? So they've started to take care of some of those lower level guys that are going to be roster fillers but are essential, like Jeff Wilson. I think signing Jeff Wilson as early on was big, because you go with Raheem Mostert, you go with Jeff Wilson, you go with Jamichael Hasty or whatever undrafted running back Kyle wants out of this draft, your running back room is pretty much set. You know, you sign Tabor Peppers, your long snapper. I know Jeff is way concerned with long snappers. Early on, he wants guys fired for that bad snap. So you just inked your long snapper to, you know, two more years and you got all your special effects. So add that to Ken Webster coming back. Austin Walker is signed for another year. He's your new special teams ace guy. And Josh Rosen. And you're starting to see that the top of the pyramid in terms of roster is solidified with, stay what you want until otherwise, you got your quarterback, you got George Kittle, you got Debo, you got Ayuk, you know, you got Armstead and Kinlaw. And now you start supplementing it with those lower level restricted free agents that are going to fill in. You go use free agency in the draft to plug in the middle part and you're doing okay. So I just want to make sure that because we addressed it, you know, as a little bit of a scare or a little bit of a problem, that they are going out and making sure that they sign their own guys, at least to make sure that the reserves are there.
I never had a doubt that they would be making these type of moves. So you haven't exactly talked me off the ledge yet, Todd. I'm still extremely worried about our quarterback position, our left tackle, our free agent fullback, our defensive backfield. I'm still super worried.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to talk you completely off the edge, but I want you to put your at least one toe back on there, because you're not signing everybody today, and you certainly aren't signing the big guys like Trent Williams until they test free agency. So there's, again, you're not you particularly, but people are freaking out that Trent Williams hasn't been signed. And it's kind of like, there's a reason this guy has been in the league so long and as good as he is. So he's going to go test his market, I'm sure, and he's going to see what's out there. And if it's the Lions are offering him a big contract and the Niners can match, he'll come back. But he's the kind of guy that he's going to be out there in free agency. So we can't panic yet, but you can kind of lean back towards the wall knowing that at least – you know, you're starting to put the semblance of a roster, because again, that whole 42 free agents was overblown to begin with, but okay, we're starting to get that top 51 back.
Yeah, definitely overblown, but yeah, you got to start putting little pieces together, especially if we can do it for minimal cost, right? I don't know what Jeff Wilson signed for, but I'm sure it didn't break the bank. So,
one year, $2 million.
Right. So
which is barely above the veteran minimum. So yeah.
And then as soon as all, you know, free agency stars are going to hit these other positions and all that. So yeah, I think the most interesting thing right now is the whole quarterback carousel and figuring that out. So.
Well, and that's, you know, that's not for us to decide, you know, until we have more information, but since we kind of talked about Niner running backs, let me just throw it out to you, 'cause it was in the news cycle. Frank Gore said, bring me back to San Francisco. Now, outside of ceremonial, you want Frank Gore?
I love Frank, but I'm not sure he fits. He's a puzzle piece that fits into what the Niners are doing right now.
Jeff, Frank Gore?
Yeah, I hate to say the wrong thing, but I mean, other than ceremonial, if you brought him in and like signed him and he retired, I mean, okay, but I don't know. Yeah, if there's really I don't know if there's space for him.
You know, I mean, it's more of a, I guess it goes back to last week's conversation when we talked about Tom Rathman and how beloved he was. And I think Frank fits that same category. He is such a beloved past member of the organization and he's done so much when there were questions about if he could survive an NFL season coming out of University of Miami, and that's almost two decades ago. I mean, his kid is a year away from being eligible for the NFL draft. So, I mean, that's how long Frank has been, you know, churning out yards. Now, there's a reason he's bounced around of whatever four teams in the past 4 years, because you just can't give an 82-year-old running back that many carries, you know, and expect him to do much. So, as much as I love the fact that Frank was on the radio and he said, bring me back. Obviously, you know, this holds a special place for him. I don't think it's possible. So I hope all the dreamers out there, you know, just put that one to rest and know that number 21 will be coming back at some point for his one day send off. And, you know, he'll wear his red 49er Hall of Fame jacket and have his, you know, number put up on the press box. But as for an actual player, I just can't condone bringing that home.
When he made that comment, was that tongue in cheek? Because I mean, does he not realize that under the Shanahan offense, that the running back room are all predicated on guys with blazing speed, which even during his best days, I wouldn't say that Gore was a burner.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I don't think Frank put that much thought into it outside of, you know,
I need a job. Yeah.
Someone asked the question and he jumped on it. So, that was kind of it. And as we roll towards the end of the podcast and before we get to final thoughts, as we embark on this off season, it's going to be interesting and frustrating, I'm sure, for many, because the Niners are seemingly in the news cycle, but they're not going to get all of these guys. In fact, the Niners, you know, modus operandi has been not to, you know, be in that first day of free agency where you start seeing all the big names sign the big contracts. So, you know, I hope their roster building is efficient, because I don't know if you guys saw, now I don't take power rankings for, you know, they don't mean anything to me outside of it's an interesting discussion topic. And power rankings that come out the day after the Super Bowl for next year are certainly, you know, nothing to, you know, bank on. But the fact that somebody, NFL Network, thought that the Niners were a top 10 team and they were the only non-playoff team certainly gives credence to the fact that they're close. Their window is open. They could just, they don't need a full rebuild. They're a tinker away from, you know, doing things. And that's what I hope we, the fans and the team, do.
Yeah, I mean, which is why, I mean, I don't know if we saw the same power ranking. I think I saw it posted on Yahoo Sports, but I mean, that's why when I think about Deshaun Watson, it just makes too much sense. I mean, the Niners are set up to win. If Deshaun wants to win, that's where you go. You know who was last in the power ranking that I saw?
Texans?
The Jets. Oh, yeah, sorry. The Texans, because they're assuming that Deshaun will be traded. But then I think second to last, I think were the Jets. So, like, all this, all these rumors about how Deshaun wants to go to the Jets, it's like, it just
doesn't make any sense, right?
Doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it makes sense for the Niners. They're set up. Go all in. It makes sense for Deshaun. Let's go. It's time to win.
I mean, I think we've talked about this quite a bit. You know, when healthy, I think we're right there. I mean, top 10, yeah, I can see that for sure. Even with Jimmy, you just get some health, you know, get some defensive guys back. Re-sign some of these guys, you know, make some adjustments in free agency, a draft. I mean, we're right there. We're ready to go.
I think, like, with Jimmy, you're like the solid economy car. You're going to, you know, you're going to get to point A, point B, smooth ride and all, maybe a few bumps, but with, like, Deshaun, I mean, he's like the supercharged car, right?
Yes. Who is very expensive if things break down. So,
right. Yeah.
So anyways, Jerry, final thoughts. Do you need WWE entrance music? Because I will say
not this week.
Okay. Because let me just say I've had a couple people contact me over the past week about two different things. One, they really enjoyed your rendition of the Macho Man and how you broke down Dan Campbell and everything. So nice. That was a hit. That was a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was a hit. The second was they enjoyed last week's Whoomp There It Is tribute. So the things that seem to be resonating by our listeners, I guess you would say, are old school. So
yeah. Awesome.
So if you don't need entrance music, you got a lot to live up to. But your final thoughts.
Well, my final thoughts do harken to the past a little bit. You know, so you know that segment on ESPN where their host would highlight a dumb head scratching play and say, "Come on, man." Well, that's kind of how I felt about this year's Super Bowl commercials. For $5 million or whatever they cost, it's really incredible how underwhelming the ads were this year. So at the risk of sounding like an old fart, where are the cool, creative commercials like the Bud Bowl or the McDonald's commercial where Michael Jordan and Larry Bird play that ridiculous game of horse, right? Off the skyscraper, over the river, off the expressway, through the window, over the rafters, and nothing but net. And then the winner got the Big Mac, right? And one of my recent faves was that boy who got decked out in the Darth Vader costume, right? Where he tried to use the force all around the house, but got denied and it's all dejected until he went outside and thinks he finally did it when he turned on his dad's Volkswagen. But in actuality, it was his dad in the kitchen using his keys remote ignition, right? Yet now, all we're getting is some awkward dude singing a terrible song about oat milk. I mean, that was the level this year. I mean, what'd you guys think?
I will, I'll chime in with the oat milk guy because everything was pretty plain Jane. I didn't see anything of interest until I saw the oat milk guy. And I go, I clearly need to invest in this company because this guy has so much money. He just spent $5 million to put himself in a commercial playing the keyboard. Like, where is your stock portfolio? Because I need to jump on that. If I got enough money to put myself in a commercial, clearly, you know, maybe I would, but that was the only commercial I looked at him going like, I can't believe that was spent money on that. It's funny you bring up the oat milk guy.
Or I'd say, you know, he didn't spend any money because it was just him. There was like no music. There was just him and a camera, basically. He's playing the keyboard. So it didn't cost him any more than just the $5 million to buy the spot, I guess.
I guess. Well, that's a lot of money just because.
But hey, we're talking about it. So maybe it worked, right?
Maybe it worked. So,
it was so bad, people couldn't help talking about it.
You know, in years to come, it'll be Apple's 1984 commercial and oat milk guy as, you know. What's set the precedent?
So. I will say there was one commercial I actually didn't see while it was on the air. I kind of went through, I'm like, did I miss anything good? It was the team. So I don't know if it aired or if it was just somebody posted online, but it was the T-Mobile commercial with Brady and Gronk. Did you guys see that one?
So that was funny you bring that up. That there was an alternate version during the Super Bowl without Gronk and Brady. And someone surmised that there's no way Brady would let that air during the Super Bowl before he actually won the Super Bowl.
I think I saw it yesterday for the first
time. So that was
great, right? Where they're talking about, like, Brady's asking, oh, what should I do? And then Gronk was just being very just, hey, it's time to retire and all that. But then because of all the sketchy signal, it sounded like, dude, don't be soft. I'm going to come out of retirement. Let's go. Let's go to Tampa. Let's go to Florida. Yeah. Oh, that was a good one. But that was about it. I don't think I saw any other one. Maybe speaking of flashbacks to the past, it was kind of nice seeing a cameo of Beavis and Butthead on one of those Paramount commercials. I did enjoy that. But
Yeah.
It was pretty underwhelming this year.
Yeah, I think in regard to the commercials, I think I heard that people, like a lot of the companies were opting out, whether it was Coke or Pepsi or Budweiser or one of those, are opting out and just saving the money this year. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with it because, they were definitely not as good as in past years for sure, which maybe this would have been a good year to have a better commercial, you know, with everything going on. But as for my final thoughts, I guess one of the thoughts is, I guess, have we paid enough to Tom Brady here? I mean, 7 Super Bowls. Jeez, this guy, right? Like, you see him partying today? I just saw that recently. Partying today on the parade, man. Just somebody else walked him out, just super drunk. That was great. Living their best life down there in Florida on the boat parade, throwing the trophy around. Like, that was great.
Yeah, I heard he was like totally lit, and that maybe he even had that his TB12 guy there with him just to make sure like that he wasn't gonna fall down.
Oh yeah, I'm
Is
sure
that him holding him up.
Yeah, that's crazy. My other thought was, I entered this Super Bowl pool, and I'm always hesitant to enter these pools because I'm like, I never really win anything. I get these lame numbers, but this year, I entered it. I got what I thought were lame numbers, but because of the game, I ended up winning big. I was the big winner for the day. 31
took care of you.
Yeah, it was great. I won it 21-9. I won it 31-9. Third quarter, and then nobody scored. So I have to give props to who was it? 54. Devin White, I guess, for keeping
Levante the Chiefs. David was it?
At the end there. So props to him. My new favorite defense, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 31-9, final score. The big winner. Super stoked.
Well, since you're the big winner, that really means we're the big winner because the next time we're in your neck of the woods, drinks are on you.
That's right.
Well, it goes without saying that, you know, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants on this podcast. And some of that is good because we don't quite know where each one of us is taking a topic, thus Three Sides Sports Talk, because we each have a different angle on things. But it also could be negative, like in this case where we go to final thoughts and we get to me and you both have taken two of my final thoughts. That being, how boring was not only the game, but the extracurriculars of the game, the halftime show, the pregame show. Like, the only thing that kept me going was the fact that I had a couple guys over and we were betting dollars on every play. Is it a run? Is it a pass? Is it for a first down? That was the only thing that kept me going. Yeah. So that was part of Jerry's. And the second one, I'm glad you called yourself out, Jeff, because I was just going to go with an anonymous, you know, gambler. And that was, I've known this guy for like 35 years almost. And every year it's like pulling teeth to get him to commit $10 or $20 to a pool. Like, no matter what it is. Hey, NCAA pool. No, I never win. Super Bowl pool. No, never win. One play fantasy football. No, never win. So the fact that we got him in the pool was success by itself.
Right. Right.
And the fact that he drew number 1 and 9, you know, just probably emphasized the fact that he's like, this is why I don't get in these pools.
Right.
And now, as payday has come, if he's not in every other pool for the next 35 years, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. But right. I mean, congratulations.
So I better save that money then, because I got to use it for all these pools for the next 30 years.
You got to go invest in oat milk dye. Triple that money. So yeah. So those were two of my, and the last thing that I wanted to say, again, because it's kind of focused on football and it's focused on entertainment, is I started watching those Peyton's Place on ESPN Plus. I think Peyton is, I think he's a funny guy. I think he's really smart. I think he's a football historian who understands his place among the greats without taking himself too serious. And I got to see him, I saw the episode with him and Terrell Owens, and it was such a flashback, because a majority of the entire, you know, 30-minute episode was T.O. as a Niner and his transformation in from just rocked out, you know, Greek god to the guy pulling Sharpies out of his sock and playing with pom-poms and popcorn here and whatnot. And I know, going back to earlier when Jeff was just talking about, he just wants to be entertaining, just wants to have fun, that you forget kind of what T.O. may have done to locker rooms, but to see that guy and to see Peyton Manning kind of pull out the fun of Terrell Owens was really a good episode, capped off by Peyton Manning dancing. So you can get Peyton Manning dancing with Terrell Owens. I mean, there's entertainment. So if you're not watching, I mean, it's been out for 2 seasons and I hadn't watched it to this point, but I just started watching it and it had me entertained. So as we enter the off season, maybe that will be my Monday night hook or my Thursday night hook, just to get a little football into my life. So
is it on ESPN Plus?
ESPN Plus.
I guess I am going to have to get a subscription to ESPN Plus.
There you go. So, other than that, I really appreciate, I mean, if anything, we are not closing the book. We are just cracking the book open, because from this point forward, we get to ramp up into free agency, into the draft, into the off season, into training camp, into the next season. Like, we kind of, you know, this plane kind of took off just real quick in the middle of the season. But right now we get to open up a full season of NFL and really get to dive into some of the debate topics. And I got a feeling that we're going to have topics to discuss very soon, because again, when these dominoes start falling, it's going to be interesting to see what each one of you guys thinks of him. So
I want to know if Cal McNair is going to pull a John Cusack in that movie, Say Anything, stand outside of Deshaun Watson's, you know, house with a boombox.
All right. See, now you're dating yourself again. You know, first of all, you said boombox and nobody's going to know what that is. And second of all, John Cusack hasn't been in a movie since, you know, 1998. So, but yeah.
Hey, people dug my Randy Macho Man Savage impersonation. So you know what? This is exactly the demographic, my
Maybe
man.
You are hitting the demographic. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy us on YouTube as well at Three Side Sports. Follow us on Twitter at Three Side Sports. Like, subscribe, and comment, and we will use your your thoughts and questions in one of our next podcasts. So thank you, everybody. Good night.
It's like milk made for humans. It's like milk but made for humans. Wow, wow, no cow, no, 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 wow.